I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
And I'm Wing.
And this week we are talking about The Hateful Eight. I'm not Wing. The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight?
Yes, that one.
Yes, I got it. I'm not repeating that for the rest of the evening.
No, you're not. And if you do, you're going to fuck it up. So I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
It was pretty good, huh?
I knew I'd kind of like it. I thought I would, but I didn't think I'd like a basically 3-hour Western.
Yeah.
But it's not really a Western.
It's set into the West.
It's a period piece that's set after slavery and shit like that, but it's not. It's not your formulaic Western. It's a setup of distrust and suspicion and like confusion and
yeah. You could have done this movie in space if you have wanted to, and replace like a couple of character with aliens and stuff like that, and then the same movie works. So it's not really like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where you need to be. The setting is super important. In this one, the setting is just an excuse for everything that's happening around, and it's so well written. It's the style is beautiful because he plays with all these codes where you have that long intro with at the start of the feature.
I hated that.
Yeah,
but I understood it.
Exactly. You ate it because you're in theater and you're waiting and you're like, you're kidding me. But if you put yourself in the mindset of people that were coming to theater before there was like 15 minutes of freaking preview, and I have no problem with trailers, but they were selling you a car and stuff like that before the movie, I'm like, come on, I paid my ticket most of the time. Get my point.
I get your point, and I totally didn't make it out to see this movie, so I borrowed it online, but I did pay for a ticket as well and just didn't show up to the theater.
Wow, okay.
No, really, it was awesome.
Nice.
So, but just shit like that, even in the beginning, it was like, well, come on, okay, hurry that up. There were a few times where it went a little slow, but it wasn't slow because the tension was building from the fucking go.
Yeah, and the way the dialogues are going, I mean, it's Tarantino writing, so the back and forth goes really well. And even if they're not changing venue much, because you go from like a carriage to
the woods to the carriage to
the house, and that's pretty much that. And but they switch from one to the other just enough, and when it starts to get boring because you're just into like the suspense and everything. Now the intermission happens and it kicks off.
Yep. And then they come back and it's like, you know, hey, and they get a little narrator, which was cool, reminding you what's going on. But hey, if you miss this, I like how the distrust was brought up right away. You know, it's how do you describe this movie to someone? You know, it's
I don't know.
I tried doing it a couple times. I'm like, well, see, there's a guy called the Hangman. He's a bounty hunter, and he's there's a snowstorm.
Yeah, he's
there's people on the way, and he doesn't know who's who, and I don't know.
And you don't want to bring up the twist because
right, yeah, you know, you can't say shit. You can't. There's no twist. It's just a movie. It's just untrustworthy people. You don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
Because even in the beginning, he doesn't trust nobody.
True. But I love Kurt Russell in this.
Well, and the lines, Daisy Domergue, the lines were so great. Like you were saying, the dialogue, because it is a Tarantino movie, you're playing catch up. You're listening to it. You're hearing it, but you're not comprehending it for like a line or two later. So you're all, and then you're, to me anyways, the way that he writes, it's so quick.
Yeah, because there's so much misdirection in everything he writes. He's trying to show you stuff, but in a way that you're going to remember, but not focus on it.
Like when they were just meeting in, you know, The Last Age of Red Rock, when it was first Samuel L. Jackson and Kurt Russell, and it's like, you know, how long has it been? What, since the stake? Like, just to... you don't know what to pick up on, what to learn from there. The letter, what letter? Oh, the Lincoln letter, da-da-da. It just, you don't know.
Why is there a half-plucked chicken? That's...
Right.
That's a bad omen or something, and the jelly bean on the floor, and you're like...
Oh, I knew what that was about.
I was like, why the hell are they pointing to all that stuff?
I totally knew what that was about. That was a total... That was a time screw. Tarantino thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I didn't think there was a time screw in this one that much. I thought we would go back to see what happened before, but I didn't... The big twist, I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see all of it coming, but I knew that something had happened once the jelly bean was seen. Because there was the missing jar up there.
True.
He looked up and there were five jars, or should have been, and there was four or whatever, because there was one in the middle, like, I'm not here anymore.
I love Tim Roth. Tim Roth, the performance in this movie.
Tim Roth was amazing.
Is just, oh God.
Actually, everybody did really well, but I have to say, he was typecast, and he played the same character for 80% of it, but I don't even know his name. Boyd Crowder. As soon as I saw him, I could not stop smiling.
Boyd Crowder? Michael Madsen?
No. The dude, the sheriff, the new sheriff of Red Rock.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Me neither. I can't remember his name, but...
But he's from Justified.
Yeah. He's funny.
I loved him. He's awesome. And those fucking billion-watt teeth. When he smiles, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And the evolution of his character with the one of Samuel Jackson is so
amazing. Because you're afraid. You're not afraid, but you, again, the tension. You don't know who to trust. You don't know what to do. Well, I'll be double dog damned.
And Samuel Jackson's character looks nice, but then just before the intermission, there's this whole part with the son of the general or something.
Oh, yeah. No, well, oh, that part.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, that makes him a little bit evil in some ways. So you're less attached to the character, and when you come back, it's him and the new sheriff.
Well, do you think that was true, or was he just saying that to get her eyes out of him? Doesn't matter either way, but...
It might have been true.
Yeah, could have been.
Could have been. Maybe not. I don't know. Made a funny story. Which I was like, I can't believe they're doing this.
Yeah, it... just crap. There's a lot of scenes like that. Oh, my nuts! I mean, that going forward from there, you know, just take the bodies outside. Why do I got to do it? Well, your jacket's already on. I sort of kind of trust you.
Sort of kind of.
Oh, yeah. No, I wrote it down. It's what he said. I don't know. The piano.
Yeah.
Intercut with the scene that you're talking about, with him talking about getting a fucking Hummer from the sun. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
In the snow. Right when he fucking shoots the general dead, the piano gets closed.
That's
the
true.
Cut to his fingers. I figured you would have seen that. I mean, you did, but, you know.
It's been a couple of weeks already, and it was only a few days for me. Yeah.
And I stole it with paying.
At least you paid for it.
Yeah. I realized I had to. Because it was that good.
It was too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, pretty much there is where I stopped taking notes. I wrote a couple other things down, but no dogs, no Mexicans.
Yeah.
So great.
And she took that sign down because she started accepting dogs. Like,
so fucking great.
Wow. This movie is not afraid to go into the...
Well, he's never been afraid to pull the race card. I mean...
Well, let's face it. He starts the movie, and they're using the N-word all along. But
Oh, yeah.
But they start by pointing it out.
Like, well, and that's, I mean, well, it was just after the Civil War or whatever, just after the slaves were freed and he, you know, fought for his freedom, blah, 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 whatever it was. But yeah, what was, oh, there's a line. Don't write me hate mail. I'm repeating a line, but it was like right after she spit Daisy Domer goo, she blew a snot rocket, and then she spit on his fucking Lincoln letter. Right before she spit on his Lincoln letter, she said she called him a nigger, and Kurt Russell looked at her and said, "Don't you know darkies don't like to be called niggers anymore? Something about their sensibilities."
Yeah, exactly. So they addressed it.
Right, and I was like, holy fuck!
They found a way to address it, which you understand that the filmmakers understand it, but they're still going to use it because it's...
Because then it's a more harsh insult. It's not like... the other movie recently that used it 5 billion times? The D's silent. Django, Unchained.
Which is another Tarantino movie.
Right, which was... It was good, but they used it all the time. That was fucked up.
Tarantino again.
Yeah. Yep.
He's not afraid of anything.
But like you said, they at least pointed it out and were like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, they address it and then they run with it. So that... Does that make it away? I don't know. I'm not an expert on the matter, but at least it's classy.
So, you know, if you have someone stew... It's their stew. How is this mini stew? So great.
You recognize the stew because nobody makes the same stew.
But he called him out on everything.
True.
It was the stew. It was the no dogs, no Mexicans. And there were like 2 or 3 other things. No hats. What was the other one? There was something else.
And when you see them, they look like a fun bunch of people.
What I don't understand is how did they all have these papers? Everybody. Everybody had these papers. Even if they were lying, they had the papers.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed it, though.
It's a really good movie. And, you know, as Tarantino movies goes, that's on the upper echelon. That's in the upper four. I would say.
Oh God, really?
For me, yeah. That's one of the one I have the most fun.
Oh, what is okay? What does y'all have? He's got both Kill Bills, Django,
Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown,
Reservoir Dogs, We're missing one.
We're missing this Grindhouse movie.
Ugh, I didn't even see that.
That was
not great. I saw Jackie Brown once or twice, I think.
Yeah, well, Jackie Brown was not that great. Jackie Brown is definitely at the bottom. The Grindhouse movie is definitely at the bottom as well. God, it's tough when you have his filmography. I'm not a big fan of Django, so that would be in the bottom four as well. And the last one at the bottom four would...
I'd like to watch Django again, but I honestly felt dirty after I came out of the theater a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. You need to give yourself a little break. Maybe when it comes back on Netflix or something, it's going to be time to rewatch it.
I'd rent it too again at some point in time, but I don't know. This was a lot of fun, though. But yeah, I don't know where I'd put it.
Yeah, well, I'll put, like I said, in the top four, clearly. Below Pulp Fiction, probably over Kill Bill. Yeah, probably. I really like it. So, you ready to rate it?
See, I'd probably put Reservoir Dogs at the top of the bottom.
Reservoir Dogs is really, really good.
But it isn't. It is, but it isn't. It's a good movie, but it's not really, really good. It's like, whoa, I see what he did there. But it's, I don't know, maybe for the time, but I saw it later when that was just, I don't know. I'd have to watch it again, but every time I watch it, I'm underwhelmed.
Okay. No, I watched it a lot, and that's one I really, 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 really like, so...
Okay.
No, I'm standing on that one. I really like Reservoir Dogs. Maybe we should watch it again.
I'd be down to watch it again, and I can tell you all the things I love and hate about it.
Yeah, you could do that. You can destroy that movie for me. Thank you, Beef!
Finally! Turnabout is finally at hand!
Oh,
Wayne got a message. Yeah, I'm ready to rate it.
You're ready to rate it? So mm-hmm. for the Hateful Eight, are you going Legendary, Legends of Its Time, Cult Legend, Awesome, Entertaining, Mabel, Forgettable, Abysmal, or Spring Breakers? Come on, Beef.
Did you guys hear that? He said Hateful with an H. Right now, I really got to go. It was a solid awesome. I don't know where it'll end up, but it was really, really fun. I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I did. The ensemble cast was phenomenal. It was a period piece. It wasn't really a Western. The way that they showed the class warfare between the bounty hunters as a clan and the Northerners, the Union as a clan being Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson, and then Samuel L. Jackson against Boyd Crowder, who was a Confederate, and then, you know, the Mexican and Samuel L. Jackson. It was a cool dynamic. And like I said, being a line and a half or two lines of dialogue behind and trying to catch up and realizing how awesome it all was awesome. I don't know. Yeah. I'll rent it for sure when it comes out.
I'm going to keep repeating the same word. I think awesome is a great place for this movie. We were just discussing, I'm a big fan of Reservoir Dog, and this seems like the 2.0 in some ways. It's like, let's put a bunch of people and tell backstory.
Big-ass ensemble, yeah.
Yeah, big-ass ensemble, and let's just let them banter for a little while. Let yourself attach to these characters, and now let's take them down one by one. I really, really, really enjoyed this movie, and yeah, where it's going to end up overall, I don't know. This is not the instant classic that Pulp Fiction was, and I don't think he's ever going to do something like that again, but damn, that was awesome.
I think Pulp Fiction also had help of the music, but this is, yeah, I think once it hits the greater out there.
Well, the other thing is that Pulp Fiction is the kind of movie that came out at the right moment, at the right time, with the right actor, with the right music.
Everything hit.
You don't catch that lightning in a bottle a bunch of time in your career. Yeah.
But this has that potential. It just had a shitty slot, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes out and it's on DVD and it does okay, I mean, it'll do well. It'll do decent. I might even actually pay to have this. It's fun. But otherwise, it's going to go to Netflix and everybody, or wherever, Amazon, everybody's going to see it. This is going to be something that people actually check out, I think. Because at home, it's a lot easier viewing.
I would agree with that. But I will see. I can't wait to see what's his next thing, and I want him to stop doing Western right now. That would two in a row. Okay, we're good. Let's go.
What was the last one?
Django Unchained.
Oh, my God. And what was before that? Kill Bill 2.
Wasn't there one between that? Wasn't it the Grindhouse thing?
Oh, Grindhouse. Okay, so three of his last four have been basically Westerns. Mm-hmm. What did you describe Kill Bill 2 as?
Yeah.
A spaghetti fucking Western.
Yeah, so let's change the mix a little bit. Let's go to something a little bit different. I mean, I like it when he copies his other style and he does it well. I mean, the first Kill Bill was more...
And the second Kill Bill was really cool.
Yeah, but the first Kill Bill was more Eastern influence, and Pulp Fiction was more French New Wave. And so let's go back to exploring other style.
Man, he's done it all. There's only eight styles, or like four, apparently.
I want his play on a superhero movie, and not a known one. I want him to design something. That would be fun.
They should just call me Camel Toe if I wear that. Last word.
I'm going to go with Western.
I'm going to go with Mustache.
Ooh, nice.
This has been episode 280 of Legends Podcast, The Hateful Eight. I'm Beef saying, well, I'll be double dog damned.
Yeah, I can't beat that. I'm signing out.
And that'd be Wing signing out.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com, where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or GunnaGeek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.